The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
You are listening to I Am Refocused Radio with your host, Shamaya Reed. This show is designed to inspire you to live your purpose and regain your focus. And now, here's your host, Shamaya Reed.
Hey, welcome to I Am Refocused Radio. We are here once again, and today we have a true honor talking to a very special person. Her name is Karen Walters, and man, she is amazing, not just professional, but a source of inspiration. She is a full-service human resources consultant, and she has spent decades inspiring teams and assisting leaders in cultivating cultures and surpassing expectations. I don't even want to spend 5, 15, 30 minutes on her resume. I just want to welcome her to the show and say, I'm going to let you do the honors and tell people a little bit about yourself.
Hi, Shamaya. Thank you so much for having me. It really is a pleasure and an honor, and I appreciate your time. And so, yes, I am a human resources consultant. I live in Georgia, and I really am just 1 year in to being a happy entrepreneur. And I have about 30 years of experience as a human resources professional. And I haven't moved around a lot. I'm kind of a loyal sort. The first half of my career was spent in a really large Fortune 50 IT company. And then the last portion of my career has been here locally in Atlanta, working for Arthur Blank, who is the co-founder of Home Depot. But after he left Home Depot, he wasn't finished. He wanted to own his own NFL team, the Atlanta Falcons. And there are many other, you know, companies that he started over the last 20 years, I guess, because I joined right after he bought the Atlanta Falcons. So I've learned so much, and I'm so grateful to have an opportunity to share some of the things that I've learned with small businesses.
I mean, you have a lot of history underneath your belt. You also done work with Mercedes-Benz Stadium, Atlanta United soccer team. And what was the first gig that you ever had for your opportunity in starting your HR career?
Oh, thank you. Yeah. So when I was in college, I went to the internship career office and they said, hey, you want to work in human resources? And I was like, what's that? You know, but I worked for Unisys, which was the Fortune 50 IT company. And I learned so much there. I literally grew up there and I learned from some really awesome HR professionals at a very young age. So I think I learned a lot more from my work experience than during college, no offense, but it's just that experiential learning.
When you look back and see your success, it all started at some point. When you look and see where your mindset was back then versus where it is now, what was it like for you to be on that spectrum of clarity of this is what you are, you know, talented to do and passionate about?
Yeah, that's such an appropriate question, because early in my career, I think it was more about the head, not the heart. You know, I was a student of the profession of human resources and, you know, had acquired some head knowledge. And it's funny that you asked that question, because when I interviewed to work for the Atlanta Falcons, the gentleman that interviewed me asked me what I was passionate about. So that was, you know, 20 years ago. And I didn't have a great answer at that time of my life about what I was passionate about. And I think it was because of that head versus heart. But now I'm sort of just exuding in the heart part. And so I think in the broadest of pictures, that's what's changed over my 30-year career, is to see eyeball to eyeball with so many thousands of people and watching them pursue a higher purpose and to be truly inspired by the environment that they're working in.
When you launched your career back in college, there's a lot of college students in today's world, and some are bitten by the entrepreneur bug. So, you know, it's a mixed batch right now. But what advice would you give your younger self when you were in college, knowing what you know today about HR?
Well, you know, I don't know that it's that I would go back and change anything, because I had to go through the journey that I went through. And there are probably, you know, actually, I think of my son, he was an entrepreneur right out of college. And so I don't know, that's such a rare experience, though. I love the journey that I've been on, because I've been able to acquire kind of that book knowledge and the tough lessons learned and toughing it out in the corporate world, you know. But then it's like so rewarding, and you might say, oh wow, you had such a fun career. You worked in football and soccer and in an entertainment space. And that was so rewarding and so fun. But because I think I'm pursuing a personal purpose right now as an entrepreneur, I'm a little bit happier now.
Once again, talking to our special guest for today, Karen Walters. You can go to her website, is KarenWalters.com. And I want to touch on football, because we all know America loves some NFL, and you being with Atlanta Falcons, I mean, we all know that's a cool team. That's like a celebrity team, in my opinion. Being in that area, in that city, Atlanta, and working for that organization, what's some of the examples that you can remember that came across in being creative in that space?
Being creative. Well, creative is a really good word. I mean, one of Arthur Blank's core values is innovate continuously. And I was actually always kind of intimidated by that core value, because if you think about it, innovate and continuously, those two words sitting right next to each other, it's basically saying you're always innovating. And I think the reason for that is because it is entertainment. And so even though something, an experience might have been good, very good, it has to be reinvented because it is entertainment. And so I stood back and just was always in awe of my coworkers, who were some of the just best in class people out there, and how they always innovated and they always reinvented, and they made it a fresh experience for the fans. So that really encouraged me to rise to that level. And from an internal perspective, because as a human resources person, it was about creating a great employment experience and a great employer brand and to delight our associates. And so I couldn't be complacent in that, because these people were always innovating. And so I needed to always innovate in order to keep them engaged.
And speaking of engage, it ties right into today's show topic, workplace culture, the power of a core values-led people strategy. In today's world, we have so many distractions outside of our workplace. What are some of the core values that you come across that helps create that workplace culture?
Right. Yeah. Thank you for asking that. So, you know, I want to say culture and core values, they can become a little bit of a buzzword feel. You know, it's like, what are you really talking about? What I'm talking about when I say core values is it's a compass through what, you know, that you can use to make business decisions. So once you know what your true core values are, then you can say, well, okay, well, if these are my true core values, then I'm going to make decisions, the hard decisions, the expensive decisions, the dicey decisions, the real fork in the road decisions. I'm going to make those decisions based on these core values. So what I've enjoyed doing is working with small business owners to figure out what their true core values are. And they'll confess to me sometimes they have core values, but they got them off the competitor's website, or they looked on Google, what should my core values be? And obviously that's not the way to do it. So what I've been doing is interviewing the employees of the company. And I ask them to tell me, when has your employer been at its legendary best in five different areas? And because I think too, sometimes we have core values, but they don't cover all the needed areas. So for example, how does the leadership treat the team? You know, what is the secret sauce for this organization and how the leadership treats the employees? Or how does everybody around here work together? What's special about that? What's our impact on the community? And so on and so forth. So It becomes such an awesome esteem boost for employers when they have their true set of core values that are their secret sauce. And then they say, okay, now I know what I'm doing. Now I know how to interview people. I'm looking for people that possess these core values. Now I know who to promote. It's people that are walking out these core values, so on and so forth. So as far as what is one of them, you know, I mean, I think in particular, because of the employment market that we work in, the core value that describes how the leadership organ of the organization treats the team, whatever words you come up with to describe that, and it's going to be particular to the personality of the business, that's going to be really important. And then that becomes a part of your message when you are filling your positions. It's like, this is the commitment we make to our associates. It's like, we're going to invest in you, or we're going to put you first, or it's all about your career, all about your development, it's all about listening to you, whatever it is, that's a real powerful differentiator.
Once again, listen, I'm your Focus Radio, talking to our special guest today, Karen Walters. You can go to her website, karenwalters.com. What's an example of lessons that you learned, for example, like Atlanta Falcons? What are some examples that you use in building those closer relationships between the employer and the employee?
So we have a really beautiful stadium here in Atlanta, and it's called the Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And it's really iconic in the world. It's a beautiful space, physical space. But, you know, buildings do not change the lives of people. It's the blood pumping through. It's the associates that work in the building that can impact the life of a football fan. And so one of the things that Arthur Blank does really well is he empowers people. Again, another buzzword, but what does that mean? You know, there's a Maya Angelou quote that says, people will not remember what you told them. People will remember how you made them feel. And so we were very careful in the way that we crafted our interview approach, our onboarding approach, our new hire orientation approach. We were very careful in the way we did that, because how did we want these people to feel? You won't believe this, Shamaya, but we had to hire 4,000 people right before that stadium opened. And that's definitely not something I did by myself. It was a huge team effort, as you can imagine. But we wanted those candidates to feel a certain way. We wanted them to feel like kings and queens. We wanted them to feel like they were Arthur Blank. And so we have to treat them as such. And then, you know, once we gave them the offer letter and they came in for their orientation, you know, we wined and dined, and we had, you know, Arthur speaking to them directly, and we had a champagne toast at the end of orientation. And, you know, it is how you make people feel, because when you make them feel like they're the most important person in the organization, because they're the closest to the guest, then you're going to get something out of these folks that would go beyond what you could even ever ask or imagine them to do. And that's actually why I named my company Beyond Culture, is when we make people feel safe and when we empower them to be their special self, then they're going to feel free to go beyond what you could even ask them to do.
And that's a great point. And speaking on that, kind of illustrate that for the audience, maybe a comparison, maybe company A versus company B, where one organization is a little bit more open to the idea, and maybe the next organization is a little bit more, I don't know, drill sergeant, like, you know, A, B, C, D, no color outside the color lines.
Yes. Yeah. And I think we can probably, most of us can remember working in both types of organizations, I would think, or being at least be aware of both types. You know, I mean, I grew up in a society many years ago where it was, you know, a typical hierarchical structure, right? And so the boss was the most important person, the smartest person, and we were going to listen to the boss and do what the boss said and look at our job description to perform the duties that are listed on the job description. That's a very finite way of looking at, you know, what you want to get out of somebody. And so you're going to get a finite result. However, when you flip that triangle the other way and you put the CEO at the bottom of the organization, which Arthur was very famous for doing, he always said he was at the bottom of the triangle, the pointy part of the triangle, and the frontline associates were at the top of the company because they were closest to the guests. And so he was more the one that was casting vision, and then he got out of everybody's way and he was became the cheerleader, encouraging everybody on. So in my, I have a 5-week leadership course, and one of the, it's funny that you asked me that question, because one of the stories that I activate in that training has to do with a young lady that works at two different hotels. So she works in the gift shop at two separate hotels, and Hotel A and Hotel B. And she behaves very, very differently at her two jobs, even though it's kind of the same job in two different hotels. And the punchline is that the leadership and the culture that's cultivated in those two hotels is very opposite. And so the results that they get from their gift shop manager is very different. So the culture is driven by leadership, and that impacts behavior and mindset and results. So, and the overall effectiveness of the business.
Once again, talking to our guest today, Karen Walters. You can go to her website, karenwalters.com. And today's topic, we're talking about workspace culture and the power of a core values-led people strategy. And speaking of strategy, when people, like employees, for example, we always kind of hear the relationship between, you know, the vertical, you know, going through the levels of management. But when it comes to horizontal people and people, coworkers, what's some of the ways that these core values can be also implemented with coworkers finding that strategy?
What a beautiful question. Thank you, Shamaya. So yeah, I mean, I'm a big believer in collaboration. I think just I'm wired that way. Is I like to toss ideas around, you know, with other folks, because they get better when we do that. And so I tend to lean towards collaboration, but, I think that's a really powerful aspect of healthy cultures, is when the employees, they don't feel like it's not competitive, I guess. And, you know, it doesn't really matter whose idea it was, but rather running the ideas by others, it strengthens the idea and it builds community within the organization, and it just improves the overall result. So, that was another one of Arthur's core values, was it was called include everyone. But again, whether you call it include everyone or something else, I do encourage companies to come up with their own secret sauce version of that, because we all know that, you know, teamwork is sort of the generic way of saying that, but we're going to be so much more powerfully effective when we do lean towards collaboration. And I'll tell you a secret. One of the, I think the healthiest cultures out there, the very, very healthiest cultures, those are cultures where we can hold each other accountable peer to peer. So if you and I were coworkers in a business and we felt safe enough and free enough and humble enough that we could say to one another, hey, Shamaya, you know, I saw that and I want to give you my honest feedback. This is how that came across to me. And then we can have an adult conversation without getting the manager involved. You know, that's a really, really beautiful aspect of healthy cultures.
Yes. Yeah, like being self-sufficient. You don't have to always rely on the upper channels to take care of a situation. Sometimes you can take the initiative to kind of practice that yourself.
Agreed.
And when people are looking at the HR department, what are some of the misconceptions that people may have which HR and what is really designed to do for the organization?
Okay. So human resources is an older term. You know, I mean, I think we've maybe even heard of the personnel office was maybe what it was called even before I got started. But, you know, there's so many, it's infinite, honestly, Shamaya. I mean, I could fill up a whole page of the word connotation with that, or the word association with human resources. I mean, of course, it does involve things like employee benefits, and it involves, hey, let's make sure we're paying people appropriately and on time and all of those things. But I think in the biggest of pictures, human resources, that's a really smart, strategic function within any organization. And in the big picture, what it is it's a great advisor for the leadership team, sort of an objective advisor, where somebody can say to the, without fear of repercussions, can say to the leaders of the company, hey, let me tell you how my view on that, or let me give you some feedback, or, you know, all with the best of intent in making the organization more healthy. Let me be your trusted advisor. And then at the very same time, be a coach and an encourager, an educator for the team members within the organization. So it's kind of, all working towards effectiveness of the business, being a safe, objective person, because, you know, obviously there's some legal aspects of HR too. And what we want to do there is we want to try to encourage people that are working in an organization that have a concern about how they're being treated. We want them to be safe to come to an internal person and not versus going outside the organization and taking that up some sort of channel to complain. It's like, no, let's resolve this inside the organization. And that's where human resources can come in handy, is to say, hey, I want to be the sounding board. Come to me. I'm going to help. I'm going to do it in a safe way. And I'm going to, you know, make this a healthy place.
Once again, you listen on Refocus Radio, talking to our guest today, Karen Walters. You can go to her website, karenwalters.com. And today we are talking about the workplace culture, the power of a core values-led people strategy. And wrapping this up, when there are business owners out there, employers out there, and they're like, man, okay, I can do this. And I'm sure this is something that we all can benefit from, no matter what size the organization is. What is maybe the first step that someone can start implementing, like, tomorrow when they go into work?
I love that. Listen, that's the first thing that comes to my mind, is being a good listener. You know, I mean, I think being a coach begins with being a good listener, and listening with an open mind and not filtering or changing what is heard. So, you know, being a good example and being a person of integrity and follow through. I think seeking out opinions and listening, that's a good first step. But I will also say there's a fun little culture quiz, and I made it myself, you know, so I picked 10 questions. And I put it, it's on the bottom of the front page of my website, so it's easy to find. It's karenwalters.com, and it's at the bottom. Just, it's kind of an enjoyable little 10-question quiz where a leader could grade his or her organization on the culture, the health of the culture. And I designed it in a way to say the goal is not to be satisfactory. No, that's why I call it beyond culture. We're going beyond what we could ask for or imagine. So I designed it that way to say, hey, in each of these 10 areas, you might be satisfactory or you might even be awesome in each of the 10, but there's always room to go even far beyond.
I like the example you talked about, the hotel, with someone who might work a certain way in this place, but be this way in that place because you're comfortable in being yourself, right? Mm-hmm. And these core values can empower someone not just be themselves, but to shine for a career.
I'm glad you said that, because the word culture, you know, what does it mean? It just means when a group of people come together for a common purpose, you know, an agreed upon group of behaviors, and either explicitly or implicitly derived from that. And so there's culture on sports teams. There's a culture in the classroom. There's culture at work. There's culture in your home. And the culture is really, you know, what other people say about it. How does it feel to be in your family? How does it feel to be on that basketball team? I remember I have a son who we had him on a basketball team when he was younger. It was not a healthy thing. You know, I mean, he literally had a stomach ache every time he'd go to the practice. You know, that's not a healthy culture. And so culture can be great and culture can be toxic, and culture's everywhere. It's just whenever a group of people come together for a common purpose, it's what emerges from that. And it's how, what people say about what it feels like being there.
I mean, it says right on your website, achieve results beyond what seems possible. And I think that is the slam dunk, or if I can say the catch in the end zone, maybe. You know, the extra point is good after the catch, too. When you look at the opportunities that are ahead with your new business on a personal level, what were your short-term goals that you see for the near future?
Yeah, what I'm enjoying and what I feel optimistic will continue is I'm developing some long-term relationships with some really awesome business owners. And what I, if I look, lump them all together, what I see about these folks is that they're very, very, very good at what they do. And they're still small organizations. And so they don't have, you know, an HR team. And so what I love about it is being able to add my little input, you know, with regard to the people side of it. And, you know, business owners can get overwhelmed because they're very good at what they do. And they're probably trying to take on some sort of the HR piece on their own. And it's overwhelming and their plate is way too full. And so I have encountered some really beautiful, grateful people who are welcoming me into their team on a long-term basis to say, you know what, I want you to be my trusted advisor. And so to answer your question, short and long-term, I'd like to just add more to that group and offer support to a variety of businesses and a variety of industries and make the world a better place one business at a time. Because I think we could all say that we, in our daily lives, we each encounter different types of customer service experiences. Some of them are really, really great and some of them are not, you know, and I always just sit there and ask myself, what's behind that? What's driving that? You know, what's making that a great experience and what's making that a not so great experience? And that's what I'm passionate about.
You've been listening to Refocus Radio, talking to our guest today, Karen Walters. Go to her website, karenwalters.com, and you're ready to take that next first step. You can take the 10-question Beyond Culture quiz and start out with that. So with that said, I want to say thanks to the one and only Karen Walters, man. I mean, I'm going to brag about you. ATL, Atlanta Falcons, HR department. That's awesome, man. That's major. Like they say, major key. So I want to say thanks for your time.
Thank you, Shamaya. You keep up the great work and all the best to you.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.